The Court of Nerds. It's your mom's favorite podcast.
Covering the four pillars of nerdery.
Comic books, movies, TV, gaming.
This is Paul S. Kemp, creator of Eggo Linux, and I am close, personal, sexy time friends with the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast where we have to discuss if people are talking about blowing things up in a video game or blowing things up in real life. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm John.
And those two like blowing things up. Strangely, I'm the sane one that should make you all afraid. First and foremost, John, what's in the news?
King has seen the new It movie, and he liked it.
Oh!
Indeed. Logan, although not the largest R-rated opening, still dominates the box office with $88
million. $88 million! That's a whole lot of smackaroos, John.
Justice League upgraded Batmobile has been released.
What's it look like?
It kind of looks the same. Todd McFarlane, the Spawn remake director, comes...
That is the best response.
Just call it there. It's over.
Hello.
Over now.
Good night, everyone.
Todd McFarlane, the Spawn remake director, caused the movie nasty, dark, and very R-rated.
Are you Peter Griffining? Is that what's happening
here?
Like you went from like 1920s to a straight Peter Griffin.
Leonard Nimoy's Spock may return via CGI in future Star Trek movies.
Oh, I don't like that.
But his son says it's a good idea.
Oh, I like that less.
For your local Pokemon Go fans, at GRPokemap on Twitter helps you find the rare Lapras and others you are looking for. Use it while it's still up. Pathfinder, vehicle update for No Man's Sky will arrive this week. Is that thing still a thing? A new Charmed comic from Dynamite is coming March 8th. I'll take the Phoebe cover, please. Jeff Lemire, writer of Old Man Logan and Moon Knight, quits Marvel. Grant somewhere is crying.
Oh, no. Wait, really?
Resurrection, the comic series fans have been demanding, coming June 2017. And last but not least, Nintendo Switch has been released. Plays Zelda great, but doesn't really do much else. So we hear.
And with that, we go over to Stacy for a little bit of tech talk. The Nintendo Switch, is it the most underwhelming release of all time?
If you compare it to the Nintendo Wii, then maybe not.
I don't know. I really liked the Nintendo Wii. When it came out, I was like, this is fun. But I was really into the Wii Sports. And I know that
right,
Super Mario...
Right, and was all about Wii bowling.
It was the interactivity of it.
Yeah.
And but like, it's still, like, it's not something that has lasted.
Right.
I mean, you can buy Nintendo Wiis on Craigslist for like $100. Nobody wants them anymore.
Oh, dude, I traded in a Wii at GameStop the other day. I got more for Mario Kart the game than the Wii console.
There you go.
Super Mario Galaxy probably was the best game for that console.
Oh, it was fantastic. That was a great game.
And that was, I literally, one summer, or I guess it might have been winter, whenever it came out, I played that nonstop until I beat it.
I believe that.
Because it was good, but so what's the overall reaction of the Nintendo Switch? I mean, I've seen you send people are already 3D printing stuff for this.
Yep. Apparently, the stand has been the main complaint, and people are already sharing 3D plans for a stand that allows you to charge while it's on, which you would think, hey, Nintendo, maybe I want to charge this while I'm playing because it only has like a 2-hour and 50-minute. Charge.
Wait, like battery life?
Yeah.
2 hours and...
And the thing... Yeah, it's terrible.
For a for a $300 Zelda machine.
For a $300 machine.
Like, that's ridiculous. Greg, don't edit this part out in post just because you're upset and want people to give the Switch a chance.
Well, we're going to... When Hugh gets back from his cruise, we're going to try to do an open reveal box at... The house, so
box opening reveal.
Ox, yeah, whatever, you know, the thing.
An ox opening
reveal of the Nintendo Switch. So we'll see how that works out.
Greg, some ox sound effects would be great. Special correspondent to the Court of Nerds, Hugh, will be helping us out. So That'll be very cool. So keep an eye out for that. And that brings us into our main topic of discussion for this week. Before we get there, I want to say a big thank you to Ben for covering last week and doing the Bare Bones Ben cast. You can catch more of his rage on his weekly podcast, That's So Braven, where he yells about wrestling. I don't know what else he does anymore.
he yells about wrestling.
If you want his thoughts on what he called crap lane or fart lane, it was not good in his opinion. We'll keep you on the road to WrestleMania with That's So Braven. But today, we wanted to have a bit of a discussion, because with Logan coming out last week and being an absolute smash hit, as you heard John mention in the news from Quahog, it made $88 million, one of the biggest openings for an R-rated movie, and critics are loving this. And that's kind of what sets it apart, is critics love this movie. We love this movie. Check out our review at thecourtofnerds.com. I mean, our minds were blown. I called it the Wolverine movie I've waited my whole life for, and it's getting similar reactions from everyone besides Grant, who hates everything, apparently, now. Yeah, did you see, he wishes it wouldn't have been so hyped. I don't understand. It lived up to every bit of hype for me.
He's such a grumpy old man.
He is a grumpy old man. But Logan was, in my mind, a leap forward for superhero movies. It was a step in a direction that I think these movies have to take, from being just glib superheroes, save the world, they win every time, maybe the bad guy lives and he's a bad guy in the next movie. Logan had finality to it. It had a closure. It had things that you want from film. And it had a lot of film elements. It felt a lot like a Western at times. It felt almost like a crime noir in moments. And yet it still made you laugh, cry, and cover your face and go, holy shit, he put his claws through that.
Yeah.
But you've also got incredible things happening on the television side. I mean, Legion has been a revelation. You've got great things coming out. The casting for the Inhumans show looks incredible. The casting for a lot of different things looks unbelievably good. So the question we wanted to ask this week is, what's better right now? Superhero movies or superhero television? We've each come up with 3 points to support our stance and our argument. And as John and I are supposed to be gentlemen, as the way our mothers raised us, we'll allow Stacy to go first as the only lady in our midst.
What they're not telling you is what they say to me when we're not getting recorded.
We fix all that in post.
Well, yeah, we fix that in post. Greg keeps our terrible comments about how beautiful you are and how much we love spending time with you out.
Yes,
we're such mean, horrible people.
That's exactly what you guys say.
Such mean, horrible people.
So I'm on the side of TV. I'm just going to come right out and say it. I'm on the side of TV. The amount of films that have come out that are, as Grant says, overhyped, that don't live up to the expectations that they're setting for themselves, are vast. The only ones that I can really think of that are super, super films, you know, you got, what is that, Civil War, you've got Deadpool, Logan, which I have not seen. I'm kind of kicking myself for it, but those are fantastic films. But even, what did we go see, the Joker film, The Laughing Joke?
Killing Joke.
That was supposed to be fantastic, and I kind of walked out of there like, oh.
It's very lackluster.
It was, that whole sex scene in The Killing Joke kind of ruined the whole thing.
And the musical number.
Yeah.
You forgot about that.
Yeah,
well, and then it had the mixed animation with the 3D. That was kind of weird, too. But I feel like films are starting to get all this hullabaloo about it, and then it just doesn't give you any payoff. So that's one of mine, is the consistency and the payoff of a film versus TV. For me, TV is like grapes. If you get a shitty one, you just eat another one, and the chances of it being good are great. But if you get, like, a shitty watermelon, you're like, oh man, like this whole freaking watermelon's gone, you know?
I'm gonna go next, because I want to counter.
You have a fruit counter?
I want to hear your fruit analogy.
No fruit, but I think movies are more of an experience than TV. TV's kind
so
of...
So you're on the side of movies.
I am, yes. Okay. For sure. Just because, mostly because I like movies better than TV. I'll watch a movie before a show almost every time, because if a movie is bad, it's 2 hours of your life and then it's over and you never have to watch it again. With TV, like, and I'm going to use Walking Dead, for instance. That's been on for, what, six years? And it's still just, you keep coming back and you keep coming back. But it seems like it's ruined the past 6 years of my life because it keeps getting crap scores. Episodes keep dragging out and they don't do anything. Where movies are wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Done, either great or bad, and then you can just throw it away.
So you want the instant gratification or the instant disappointment?
I like the instant gratification and or instant disappointment of a movie better than the dragged out version of a television show.
This might be why you have trouble with relationships. I'm just reading deeper into this. I mean,
let's psychoanalyze.
Let's not psychoanalyze my relationships on the Court of Nerds podcast. If we want couch talk with Stacey Miller and Drew, we can do that later.
You can just look at our Facebook chats. All couch talk.
So it's
kind
of like all three of my points put in together, but we'll do.
You're going to have to expand later. I had a really hard time with this one after I came up with it, because like I came up with the question, I was like, this is going to be easy.
No, it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. And the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I ended up on the side of movies because of the direction they're moving, because of the Logans, because of the Doctor Stranges, because of the Deadpools. You know, yep, you've had some absolute terrors. Fantastic Four. Sweet Jesus.
All of them.
Batman versus Superman. Yawn of Justice. You know, that was bad. How's this? Even Civil War, when you rewatch it, has its faults. As much as I enjoy the movie still, there's never a clear reason why Cap and Iron Man are fighting. But with TV, there's just so much of it now. I mean, and I'm not just talking about the network broadcast. I'm really enjoying NBC's Powerless, but I can't keep up with Powerless, Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Gotham. You're going to be having Black Lightning added in.
All the Marvel shows.
All the Marvel shows. Luke Cage. Yeah, right. Netflix. I mean, it's overwhelming. Plus, the superhero shows that my kid watches, the animated stuff, the Spider-Mans, the Avengers, all of that. It's overwhelming. And frankly, as John said, it's a lot to keep up with, especially if you're trying to just commit your time and energy to following along this universe. And for movies, as much as Stacey the Killing Joke might have been a bomb, Justice League Dark was incredible. And Teen Titans versus Justice League was really fun.
Most of those are fantastic.
Right, Son of Batman,
it is
Batman
versus
Robin.
It's the animated stuff that you're talking about.
But those are still movies.
Yeah, but it's the animated movies.
Right, that aren't all going to theater,
so
but a lot of them
are. You like the simplicity of... hey, I'm going to go spend 2 hours, kind of like John said, and either I'm going to be disappointed or I'm going to be really happy.
Well, it's not even simplicity, and that was gonna, and we're kind of dragging all of our points together. But my next point was going to be that these are still interconnected like the TV show. So I'm still getting a longer story, but I'm getting it in installments with time in between. I'm not committing, you know, if you tried to watch every superhero show or every comic book based TV show that's on today, you're committing... I mean, close to 30 hours a week of programming between Walking Dead, Preacher. You throw in all of the fringe kind of stuff, you're committing a lot of your time. I mean, I'm going to give up my St. Patrick's Day weekend to watch Iron Fist. So
it's happening.
Yeah, it's definitely happening.
That's probably going to be fine.
It's Iron Fist. I got no problem with that. You guys are invited, by the way. John, you live with me, so that's not really much of an invite. But Stacey, of course, you're invited. Binge sleepover slumber party. We'll live stream it. It'll be cool. But that's, I'm on the side of movies just because I like the direction that they're moving. I like the installments with enough time in between to really miss it. And I really like that you're, I guess, I think the mediums are more varied. I think the way that the stories they're telling in movies are a bit more different because Flash and Arrow are starting to feel the same as Legends of Tomorrow. And, you know, as Supergirl, which people forget about. And Supergirl's a great show. It's really fun, but there's... I mean, Lord, you're looking at 4 hours a week alone on the CW. And that's if you're not watching Gotham, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you're not watching... you know, it's overwhelming. It's a lot for someone like myself. And you guys know, I'm busy. I work all the time. You guys work a ton. So for movies, you're just asking me to commit... a couple hours, once or twice a month. Now, the month of March is a little overwhelming, and I'll get into that next. But Stacey, what's your next point on why you chose TV?
Expectations versus reality, which I kind of already touched on. Overhyped movies that fail and leave me disappointed. And I'm out $14-$18, depending on where we go see it. So that's kind of disappointing. So we'll just kind of skip on that one. But something that you mentioned was actually on my list, casting. I feel like some of the big movies, when you get something like, you know, a DC or a Marvel Universe, I don't like it when they switch the casting around, but sometimes the casting that they do sucks. Obligatory Star Wars mention. Think of Queen Amidala. I mean, her and Anakin, that whole relationship. To me, that like that is what ruined 1, 2, and 3 for me.
But you can't blame Natalie Portman. You can blame Hayden Christensen, but you can't blame Natalie Portman and Sam Jackson for crap writing.
No,
that's
no,
that's
and I
the
won't.
Problem because Natalie Portman is, and I believe Sam Jackson are both. Well, maybe not Sam, but they're both either nominated or Oscar-winning actors.
Yeah, I don't blame them at all.
Is just terrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
that was
the problem
a terrible
with him.
But that's the thing is he ruined 3 films. He helped ruin them. 2 films.
Now, hold on. To Stacy's point, eventually we're going to have Iron Man and Captain America and all of these Avengers being recast. And you're going to have to deal with that because, you know, these movies are eventually going to, they're going to find a way to reset the universe. Like, they're going to find a way to push the restart button because Marvel's not going to lose its cash cow.
No.
But with the TV side, you can let these characters age season to season and come to a conclusion after however many seasons of each show. Now, I'm a little shocked that Arrow got picked up for another season already by the CW.
That one's time to end.
Yeah,
I wish that American television would kind of take a note from British television because...
You just wish America would take notes from Britain.
Okay.
We tried that. A little bit. We left.
Oh, okay.
Even the British left.
Fisticuffs. When a show is ready to be done in England, they end it, it's done, it's over. Even if it's only 2 seasons, that's it. But over here, it's like, oh, we got so many viewers. Once they hit something that's good, they hold on to it until it's Dexter. And it's like, why would you do that? I held on this whole time, and now I can never watch that show again.
That's part of my issue with TV is that it drags. Is it drags? I mean, I gave up on Arrow. Green Arrow is one of my favorite
yeah.
DC heroes. But I gave up on Arrow because it got so bad and it became a chore to watch one of what was my favorite shows.
Okay, well, here's part of the reason I love TV, though. You guys know me. I'm, you know, shiny object. I'm going to go over here. What
a crazy
I love.
Person, yeah.
Well, that too.
I thought I was crazy.
I mean, let's talk about
just
that
continue.
Later.
Yeah.
Bruh, her name's Madame Machete. Shush.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Not a visual medium, John.
No one can see you giving her googly eyes. Side eyes? What is that? What are you doing over there?
I don't know.
Throwing shade. So I can do stuff around the house in the middle of an episode. I can still kind of follow along with it, especially Arrow, because that one's just, I don't understand why it's still on. But I can still be a part of something, but I can do my own thing and come back to it. But the shows like Legion, where I'm not even knitting during that show. I am 100% engrossed because it's fantastic.
I love that you say I'm not even knitting. Like, everyone in the world knows that you knit during everything.
I knit during everything.
Like, we invite Stacy over to hang out on a Friday night and, like, you know, hang out, talk, do stuff. Stacy, whole time, knit.
It works.
All right. I think we could go back and forth on this all night.
Yeah.
I feel like John has something to say.
I kind of got something to say.
No, chime in, buddy.
Well, it's like, okay, for when you're talking about TV and how, let's use your Dexter analogy. It was really, really, really good, really good, really good, and then jumped the shark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just got bad. So you wasted all that time to not really have a great payoff. With the X-Men series here, starting in, 2000? It's been 17 years since Hugh's...
Hasn't been that long.
Yeah,
wow.
Since Hugh's been Wolverine. So we've gotten crap for the past 17 years. And finally, once they do the old man Logan story, his last one, they give us the payoff.
So you would rather have 1 out of 10
no,
at the end
I'm not
be
saying,
good
I'm not saying that.
Than have
I'm not
9
saying,
out of
I'm
10
not
be good.
That,
I feel like that's
just,
what you're saying, though.
I'm just trying to counterpoint here. I'm playing.
I mean, I get what John's trying to say.
No, I think what John's
trying
like
to say.
That.
I think what John's actually trying to say is that the great movies make up for the flop movies, but there isn't anything that really makes up for like the bad TV shows or even the mediocre TV shows.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Like, sure, Legion's been great, but like, dude, the first season of Gotham, and they just kept going. Like, the first season of Gotham, John, you'll even admit, you watched it. It wasn't great.
I stopped watching it. I kind of want to get back into it, but then again, I don't know if I want to commit that time.
Right, in case it's bad again. I mean, I had the same thing. I tried Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I can't get past the first four episodes.
Nope, super boring.
It's super boring.
And everybody says, hey, it gets better, but I just don't want to do it.
Even Arrow had that same problem. The first 7-8 episodes of Arrow is kind of a slog. It's kind of a rough get through. So I get where you're coming from. I mean, with a movie, you probably know in the first 30 minutes if a movie's bad or good. And if you're going to stick it out, you stick it out. And if you're going to bail, you're going to bail. But a TV show, you're committing 7-8 hours of your life just to figure out if it's good or bad.
We didn't even get past the rising bat tunnel scene in Batman versus Superman, and Drew's already rolling his freaking eyes. This is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't even get past the credits before we were like, this is going to be garbage. We knew. He knew immediately.
You couldn't look, man. That opening scene smacked so hard of Zack Snyder doing his I'll have my own take on the mythos thing. And I was like, he's going to force everything. Everything in this movie is going to be Zack Snyder forced. So. But I guess the counterpoint is, for every bomb movie, for every terrible movie, there have been four great ones.
Yeah.
You know, for every Batman versus Superman, there's a Kingsman that surprises you out of nowhere.
There's a John Wick.
There's a John Wick that comes out of nowhere. That does fit in this genre of sort of shoot 'em up action film. But, I mean, you even talk about a sci-fi film that bombs with that, what was that awful Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence thing?
Oh, Passengers.
Yeah, which looked terrible. And as terrible as Passengers looked and apparently was, according to reviews, you get a movie like Arrival, which no one saw coming and was incredible.
I mean, nominated for Best Picture of the Year.
Right.
It's really not what you expect in a sci-fi movie either. It's way different, but wow. I mean, I walked out of that movie thinking that was the best movie I've seen all year. Guaranteed. So,
while they both have their pluses, I think movies, and I think what it comes down to is what has less negatives. And I think overall movies have had less negatives and will continue to have less negatives as you see studios empower directors and writers to create movies like Logan, like Deadpool, like Doctor Strange, like I'm hoping Kong Skull Island will be, you know. Yeah, you want that. You want the ability to do things that haven't been done before.
Well, and we're reaching the age of that too with the R-rated films like Deadpool and Logan
they're giving
them the creativity and the reach to do something instead of for an audience from 7 to 55 or whatever. It's more of an adult film.
Right.
Not an adult film.
Stacey's all about adult films.
Jeez.
Greg, porno music.
Your point is fantastic because that's the thing. Like, studios didn't want anything above a PG-13 mm-hmm. because it was all about the Benjamins. But when you realize that a movie like Deadpool can make almost $800 million
worldwide.
And
what's the budget? What was the budget for Deadpool?
50.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when you can make almost $800 million on a rated R movie, it's like, well, they're going to come see it no matter what. They're going to come see it. And dumb parents are going to bring their dumb children to movies like that anyway. It doesn't matter what it's rated. It's going to make the money.
There we go. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to check us out at thecourtofnerds.com. We should have some pretty exciting announcements in the very near future. With that being said, I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
And I'm John.
And we are your Court of Nerds. Fix it in post, Greg.
Follow us on Twitter at @court_of_nerds.
Like us on Facebook, The Court of Nerds.
Find more nerdy news, reviews, and rants at thecourtofnerds.com.